And again, Merry Christmas from all of us at Rosie on the House on this Saturday before Christmas in the 9 o'clock hour. Now, we normally do open phones to take your questions about your house, home, castle, or cabin. But we think that you're kind of busy right now. You've got Christmas shopping to do. You've got friends, relatives, family coming in. You got to go pick them up at the airport. You got to make room for them in the house. You got a lot of stuff to cook in the kitchen. Maybe you got some baking to do, but you're getting the Christmas stuff done. So we thought we would take this hour and look at some of the people that visited Rosie on the House. But we do have some tips for your house, home, castle, or cabin coming up in about 30 minutes in our third segment. Romy's going to talk with Rosie certified partner, Rias Home Performance Solutions. And they're going to be talking about home heating issues and solutions for them, whether you heat your home with a heat pump, electric or gas. There's some really good information so you can stay comfortable when it's just a tad bit chilly outside. So we were so thrilled to have an Olympic gold medalist stop by Rosie on the House. And I was thrilled because I remember watching her do it live, swim the 200-meter butterfly, break an American record, and get the gold medal away from the world champion swimmer from Australia in the, again, in the 2000 Sydney Games. And of course, she's the local hometown girl, done really good for herself. And I'm talking about Misty Hyman. Now, the thing that Misty did, along with her coach, was innovate a special swim kick that got her that gold medal. And we were so excited to not only meet her, but she had a chance to talk about how that innovation came about.
Misty Hyman suddenly has slipped away. O'Neill trying valiantly. Hyman's in front by about a body length. Susie's got a big job on her hands. Thomas is back third. The Australians looking at silver and bronze. Or can O'Neill find something? This has been a great swim by the American. Hyman is still in front. O'Neill is second. Thomas is third. Misty Hyman is going to win gold for the American. Misty Hyman cannot believe it.
When and who? Because you were known for thinking out of the box. You brought a whole new level of innovation to a stroke that had basically been swum the same way since its inception for... And but that, you know, who invented the butterfly stroke? That, you know, that's
the butterfly came along very late, believe it or not. There were three strokes for a long time,
yeah.
And the butterfly actually grew out of breaststroke. And so people were trying to find faster ways to do the breaststroke, and then they started bringing their hands over, and then they, and so finally it morphed into a new stroke. So butterfly is actually the youngest stroke, believe it or not.
Well, I bet it is. A masochist invented it. I know that. So you invented a new way to do it. Can we talk about that for a little while?
We can. I was among a handful of people that were pioneering the way of swimming underwater for butterfly and freestyle. There were other great backstrokers that had actually kind of started this trend in the backstroke and really taken it to the next level, but a lot of people didn't feel like it could apply to butterfly and freestyle. So, and the most important thing is that it wasn't really me. The brains behind the whole operation was my coach, Bob Gillett. He was really my late coach, one of the most important people in my life. He was really the pioneer in the sport of swimming, using math and science to really look for new ways we could get better. And one of his big themes was, if you want to get better, you have to change something. And so he used math and science to look at swimming very strategically and decide, what are we going to change in order to get faster? And so really, he was the one that guided me into really exploring the underwater dolphin kick in the butterfly and use it to get to the world-class level.
What about it makes it faster? Is it because all your energy is in the water instead of some of it being wasted in the air?
Exactly. So some of it is you're carrying the speed from pushing off the wall longer, because that's the fastest moment in any swim, is when you dive off the blocks or you push off the wall, because you have something to actually push off against. And so you want to carry that speed as long as possible. And if you're underwater in a streamlined position, you have less resistance than you do on the surface when you're moving your arms. And so that's part of it. One of the things that Coach Bob Gillett and I discovered was that I could actually get the same distance doing two kicks underwater as I could doing one stroke on the surface. And one stroke on the surface would take me 1.1 seconds, and two kicks underwater would take me 0.9. And so every time I traded off doing two kicks underwater instead of one stroke on the surface, I was able to save 0.2 of a second. And we found that, of course, very advantageous. And
now, how old are you at this point?
I was about 13 when we first started to play with the underwater kick. I was at the junior national level at the time, and I had some very big goals, and I needed to find some new ways to get faster. And so part of it came along, as some of the best things do, by accident. We were kind of experimenting with different ways to go faster, and we kind of stumbled upon the fact that I was very good underwater in a streamlined position. And then when we started timing it, we realized it was something we should really pursue and take to the next level. And so when we figured out the math of it, it made sense to train to stay underwater longer than was traditionally considered fast.
Well, then how do you go from the normal position of the dolphin kick to decide I'm gonna do it sideways?
Yeah, so
how do you do that?
Right, so this happened a few years later, and I remember it very distinctly because we were at the Arizona Sports Ranch, which it was, of course, the pool was in my coach's backyard, actually. So he had built this facility where we trained, and in the winter, the small pool, we had a 4-lane, 25-yard pool that we swam in the winter. And we had a plastic dome bubble over the top of it, which kind of be foggy in the morning and has a zipper for the entrance, and which was great because it's pretty cold in the mornings in the winter if you have to jump in a pool. So so we called it the bubble. And so I remember it was holiday training in 1995, and coach came in and unzipped the zipper, came in through the fog, and he said, "Today when you do your underwater kicks, I want you to try them on your side." And he was the type of guy that always had amazing ideas. Some worked and some didn't. And I was used to being his guinea pig. So I said, okay. I shrugged my shoulders, said, okay, I'll give it a shot. And so I got in. And at this point, I'd been training the underwater kick for several years. And when I first tried my underwater kicks on my side, I actually ended up 3 lanes over because I didn't know how to steer on my side. I didn't know what to look at. Once I figured out that I could look out of the corner of my eye at the line on the bottom and I could go straight, it felt faster. And then when coach timed me, all my repeats were a few tenths faster.
Misty Hyman, we had swimmers, the kids were swimmers, and you know, and I knew your coach, but only because we swam against him. You know, what's his story? Where did he come from?
Right. Well, he was from Arizona as well, and he had always had a dream. He coached at many of the local country clubs and the pools in town, and he had always had a dream of starting his own training facility. And so he bought 10 acres in the desert at Union Hills and 38th Street, and I remember when my mom was looking for a year-round program to start me in, she literally opened the phone book, the Yellow Pages, and looked for the closest year-round program to our house.
Wow.
And it happened to be the Arizona Sports Ranch. And at the time, there was a dirt road to get there.
It was a funky place.
It was.
Yes, kind of tucked away and in the desert. And my coach had built his home there. And in his backyard, he had a 4-lane, 25-yard pool. By the time I was 9 years old, we had put in, I say we because it was kind of like a family, he had put in a 8-lane, 50-meter pool, an Olympic-sized pool in the yard as well. And then there were beach volleyball courts, tennis courts, and a multi-purpose room. And eventually there were dorms for swim camps in the summertime. Kids from all over the world would come and do week-long swim camps.
What a payoff for him to end up with you in his, you know, in his sights and be able to work with you.
You beat someone who hadn't been beat in this event. They were undefeated for 6 years, and she was swimming in her home country. She had home court advantage. What was everybody thinking you would do? We were thinking like we were hoping a bronze, weren't we?
Exactly. Everybody said an outside chance for a bronze medal. Of course, just to make the Olympic team is a dream come true.
I mean,
I had just missed it in 96 by 3/100ths of a second. So just being on the team and getting to be there was incredible. It was like a fairy tale. I'd wake up every morning and I'd look around and be like, am I really here? Is this really happening? And I'd peek out the window and I could see the Olympic flame from my bed in my dorm. And I would get the chills all over again. I think, yes, this is really happening. And
have you ever talked with the girl you beat?
We did have lunch in the village after our race.
You did?
Yes.
Just the two of you?
Just the two of us. We had lunch in the village. And Susie and I had raced quite a few times prior to that. And so we knew each other. And she was always gracious in victory and was gracious in defeat.
You're not living in that 205.88.
No, it's still a big part of my life.
Oh, I bet.
And I think that's the hard part with something like that is that, you know, for a little, you know, at first the 15 minutes were great. They were very overwhelming at the beginning. And then I was over it and I didn't want to talk about it anymore. But every day, somebody would ask about those 2 minutes and 5 seconds. Yes. So there was about several years where I didn't go one day without talking about it. And, you know, what's nice is I feel like at this point in my life, I think there was a time when I thought I need to step away from that. And I went and did some traveling and had some other experiences where I got away from it. And kind of felt like I closed that chapter. And what has been wonderful is to know that I could go off and do these other things that had nothing to do with swimming and then come back and integrate who I was with who I am now and have those. I can still be the person who won the gold medal, but I can also be all the things that I am now, a mom, a professional, a business owner, a coach. And, but that's not an easy transition to make for anybody.
No, it's not.
So you do a lot of motivational speaking, and you called it a platform of...
The privilege of the platform.
Privilege of the platform. So using all those things that you learned to encourage the next generation and beyond, right?
Yes, yes. That was something my speaking coach, Naomi Rohde, taught me, was that because, you know, who do I think I am to stand up there behind a podium and talk about my life? And she taught me that it's a privilege to have a platform that I do from winning the gold medal and to be able to share it in a way that has a positive effect on others.
Misty Hyman, swimming innovator, swimming gold medalist. That's awesome.
Thank you.
You can reach Misty at mistyhyman.com.